Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I want to think about how the pursuit of happiness touches us with respect to our feelings. As moderns, we almost have to start here, don't we? When we think about happiness, we think about it instinctively in feeling terms. The ancient philosophers didn't think about it primarily in terms of feeling. They thought about it as a state of being. But we moderns think about it very much on the emotional level, and that's a big part of happiness. So let's start thinking about the pursuit of happiness with respect to our feelings. So let's start by asking the question, what is feeling? How does feeling work? And the moment we raise the word feeling, we probably bring a synonym in and think about emotions, feelings and emotions, very similar kinds of words. I like this word emotion. The word emotion means to move, to emote. And that's a good starting point for thinking about what feelings are. Feelings are meant to move us, to emote us, to orient us as we live out our lives in this world. They're meant to move us towards our purposes and our ends, our goals. That's what feelings are meant to do, to emote us, to move us in a certain direction. Now, in order to understand what feelings are, we need to begin with a little bit of anthropology, a study of what it means to be human from a biblical perspective. The Bible's view on what it means to be human would basically go like this. A human person is an embodied spirit. So you see the two aspects of every human within that phraseology. We are embodied spirits. And if we look at the embodied side, I call this the object side of what it means to be human. So this deals with the biological aspect of our humanity, the part of us that's locked into nature, that functions under the laws that govern nature. And in the embodied part of us, we're just carried along. There's no freedom here. We're carried along by the laws of nature. The subject side is the spiritual side of us. We're embodied spirits. And what we are as subjects is so much more than atoms and cells and neurons. To be human is to be spiritual beings, concentrated to what the Bible calls the heart. And the subject side of us is able to act upon nature. We're not simply determined by nature. In this part of us, we can act upon nature. This is where our real freedom exists. So we are body, that's object side, and we are spirit. Perfectly integrated, the spirit side, the subject side. Now with that in place, I want to look briefly now at the three dimensions which are tied up in feeling. Three dimensions of feeling. First of all, feeling is body effect. All feeling is body effect. All feeling begins within the object side of what we are as humans. All feeling is generated within our bodies. So feeling is firstly a biological reality. So all feeling begins in the body as a response mechanism to external stimuli. Point being is that it's in the body. And this feeling in the body occurs automatically in our nervous systems as a response mechanism to what's going on around us. So our experience of reality, what you're experiencing right now, is coming through your five senses. And that then gives birth to feeling as body effect. And at this level of feeling, we share it with the animals. Animals too have body effect. And if you have a dog, you see their body effect very clearly. They show their feelings through their body. So you take your dog, if you have a happy dog, a dog who's in the pursuit of pleasure, lying by the fire or in the sun or just had a nice meal, the tail's wagging, and that tail's body effect shows pleasure. And then if the dog is nervous, some other dogs come around, they're looking for their pecking order, the body suddenly goes into a different posture, a different kind of body effect. And a good dog owner is attuned to the body effect in terms of what's happening in the feeling, biological feeling within the dog. So that's the first dimension of feeling. It begins as a biological reality in the body. The second I call sensation. Second dimension of feeling is sensation. And this is where the subject side comes in. Body effect on the object side just happens automatically. We do nothing about this. But on the subject side, the sensation in your body occurs, and you know, as the subject, what's going on in your body. There's subjective or somatic awareness. So you're aware of the sensation of a tightening in your chest. If you're in fear, or of an ache. So this is the subjective interpretation of what's going on in your body. So it's how we ascribe meaning as subjects to our body effect. And this is where the more creative, the freedom side comes in. Because we can either switch on and live in the feeling, in the sensation, be alert to it, awake to it, or we can ignore it and switch off to it. Now these sensations, body sensations, are important for navigating reality. To know what's going on in your body as sensation is to live in the circle of reality. So you become attuned to moments of pleasure and happiness. Or you become attuned to anxiety in your body. You give meaning to your body effect. So that's the second dimension. The third I call emotions. And here we go beyond the capacity of the animal. This is our human ability to describe words or representations to the body sensations. So we say, I feel sad, I feel angry, I feel anxious. This gives an even deeper meaning to the nature of our experience. So you see how it goes? Body effect occurs automatically. There's that, then the subjective awareness of the sensation. Then there's the naming of the emotion that that sensation is. So we properly name the feeling. And when we name the feeling, we're then able to give an insight into why we feel that way. We give a reason for why we feel pleasure or sadness or anxiety. So that's what feeling is. Starts in the body, automatically. There's a sensation, and we should know something about those sensations, what's happening. The Jews had a strong awareness of what was going on in their bodies. We Westerners have lost this. We're really out of touch with what's going on in terms of body effect. And then the third is the proper naming of the feeling. Let me move now, in my second point here, to the different kinds of feelings that I think we experience as humans. I'm going to go through this very quickly. I have two classes of feeling, negative feeling and positive feeling. What are some of the negative feelings? Well, the first is the feeling of fear. And fear, which is the name of the emotion, is a sensation in your chest region. It's a tightening in your chest. Psalm 48, verse 6, uses the language of trembling seizing your body. When trembling seizes you here. Some I've worked with use the image or the symbol of a fishing line around their chest. Tight fishing line. Fear. Now, fear springs from a threatening object which is external to the self. And fear is meant to move you either to flight or to fight. This is the emoting part of it. If you're in a field and a bull is running at you, head down, charging, and you feel fear, that is meant to move you, to emote you, to run. That's rational. It's a good thing to do. So, there, fear is a very good thing. Anger. Here's another negative emotion. Where's the sensation in the body? Well, it's an energy which surges from the chest region right out to the extremities. Your football team is lost in the FA Cup final, whatever it is, and you're angry. Rah! starts from here, energy, and boom, out through your fingers. That's the sensation in the body. Psalm 78, verse 21 reflects it as a fire breaking out. That's how the body effect works. And the energy, the emotion, in terms of what it moves us to, is quite destructive. Anger is destructive. It focuses itself either externally, you kick the dog, boot the door, or it can focus very internally in a very self-destructive way. But the point is, it's an energy that's quite destructive in its focus. I'm just going to mention a few here. Deep sadness and sorrow is another negative emotion. Now, the sensation here is again in the chest area. And it's an emotion of pulling down in terms of the sensation. It's a confinement in the body. It's being weighted. Psalm 88 is one of the great grief psalms. And the psalmist uses a description of a wave pressing down on him. That's deep sorrow. Here, weighted. And that moves us, that feeling, it should move us to weep and to grieve and to lament. And there's plenty of reasons for doing that. Then there's anxiety is another one, negative emotion. This is the sensation more in the abdomen, stomach, tummy region. It's a sensation of tingling, of jittering, of queasiness, sometimes even nausea. One of the images that we use in the English language is butterflies, butterflies in your tummy. That's the body sensation. And it's very destructive. It can really fragment us and dissipate us. And that's why Jesus said, don't worry. It just breaks you up. It's a very negative thing to spend lots of time in worry. So those are a series of negative feeling. What about positive ones? That's what we're here for. Pursuit of happiness. Well, the great positive emotion is joy. It's pleasure. I believe this is the highest of all feeling and emotion. This is the feeling that we were made for. It's the feeling, as I said, that was a desire planted in all of us for joy and happiness. Now, what's the body sensation of joy? Well, again, it comes from the center of the chest. It comes from the heart region. And like anger, it's a form of energy, but rather than being a destructive force that kind of narrows in, it's an expansive energy. So when you feel joy, you expand. There's this creative bursting forth. It's something very solid. It radiates out of your body. There's a movement in it. Psalm 28 reflects joy in the image of leaping. Being English, I love rugby and Twickenham. Usually I can't afford to get to Twickenham, but the few times I go, England scores a try, joy. People just leap up. Just feel the energy, the expansive energy. And joy fills the stadium. It's a little moment of heaven. So, that's some of the different classes of feeling. Now, I should say this as we go on. We never experience one emotion in isolation from all the rest. Until we get to glory, we're never going to experience pure joy with no sorrow, no anxiety, no fear. We live at the moment in a complex of different feelings and body sensations. So that's why it's unrealistic to hope for constant ecstasy and joy in this present moment that we're in. We never experience one emotion in its pureness. This is true of many experiences of life. Not long ago, a good friend of ours died. And death is a terrible thing, isn't it? The sorrow, the grief. And at the funeral, I just recognized that we were reminiscing about this man's life. He was a real character. And we were laughing. We were experiencing such joy at this good man's life. He was a wonderful Christian. And at the same time, experiencing sorrow. Deep, deep sorrow. Simultaneously. So we don't experience one without the other. But the point is, we were made for joy. Joy is the ultimate what for of human feeling in terms of what God made us for. And I actually like this word ecstasy. The word ecstasy means beyond stasis. If we're in stasis, we're stuck somewhere. But actually, we're meant to move beyond being stuck, especially in our negative feeling. And ecstasy is moving beyond the stasis. There's this idea of movement. And that's exactly what Jesus invites us to. In John 17, verse 13, Jesus praying to the Father says, I am coming to you so that they may have the full measure of our joy. Jesus wants us to share in the full measure of Trinitarian joy. And we as believers, theologians especially, do not give enough attention to the joy of God, the joy of the Godhead. The Trinitarian community is one pleasure palace in terms of joy and ecstasy, and that's what we're being invited to. Pure ecstasy and joy that is unadulterated. Right, briefly, let me ask this question. Why is living in our true feelings so important? Why is it important to understand what's going on in our feelings? Well, I just said that part of the reality of sin and the shadow of the fall is that we are very broken people in terms of the life of our feeling. And one of the ways this brokenness manifests itself is that often we live in what I call the gray zone. The gray zone is a defense against all negative feeling that exists within our bodies. And even the happiest of us tend to live a lot in the gray zone. We want to avoid the negative feeling, the negative body sensation. So it's a closed down response. We actually have the ability, I don't think animals can do this. Maybe a traumatized animal can, but we have the ability as humans to close down to negative feeling. The sensations are so overwhelming in the various ways I describe them that we become desensitized to it. And we have some very elaborate defenses as human persons to mask our difficult feeling. And becoming attuned to our feeling takes a lot of time. Now, I don't think it's my strong point, but over the last few years, I've tried to give more attention to what's going on in my body. I didn't think 10 years ago I was a very anxious person. Starting to listen, feel what's going on in my body, I realize I'm actually quite an anxious person. A lot going on down here. We have to become attuned to what's going on in our body, and we need help to do that. I think we need the help ultimately of the Holy Spirit to be able to face, especially the negative, the dark side of what's going on in our feelings. It requires attentiveness. And this attentiveness gives depth to the life of our feeling. I actually think moderns, who are so feeling-oriented, emotivism, some have called it, some philosophers, we are actually incredibly shallow in terms of the life of our feeling. This is the problem with what we call sentimentality. Sentimentality is all about manufactured feelings. It's feeling as a commodity. And there's a certain artificiality to sentimentality. We live in a culture awash in sentimentality. The English philosopher Roger Scruton says we live in a totalitarian sentimentality. So moderns, I don't think, are very adept at all of living in the depth of their feeling. And as Christians, we should be. We should be strong there. So why is it important to live in our true feelings? Well, as hard as reality is to bear, our sorrow, our fears, and so forth, we have to live in the circle of reality. That's where God calls us to be. And feeling, I think, is the gateway to living in the circle of reality. And if we ignore feeling, starting with body effect, we move outside the circle of reality. We begin to live in a delusion. But once we allow ourselves, with the help of others and the Holy Spirit, to live in our true feeling, and then move into the circle of reality, we are where God wants us to be. And when we're living in true feeling, then rationality comes in. So if some of us are new to this conference, we probably, even the most confident of us, came with some anxiety. Now, if you're attuned to that anxiety, flying in the plane, whatever it is, you're attuned to it. You ask yourself, why am I anxious? All this going on down here. Why am I anxious? And then you find the reason for that. Knowing the reason, giving the rational explanation for that, then helps you emote, to go somewhere with it. So true feeling, true explanation rationally, and then you can move in the right direction. You can make the right response. Let me conclude with this. The life of our feelings can be overwhelming. And that's why it's very hard just to work it out on our own. And that's where we need others to help us. Some of us need a therapist to help us live in our true feelings. But I want to end this little talk by reflecting on the greatest helper when it comes to our feelings, and that is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. It's remarkable to see how much of the Holy Spirit's work is connected to the life of our feelings. He is given the name by the Lord Jesus Christ of the Paraclete, which could be translated in various ways, but one is he is the Comforter. He brings comfort into the life of our feelings. Where our negative feeling is, he brings his comfort. And then along this line of the pursuit of happiness, the Holy Spirit is the giver of joy. He's the one who imparts joy to the life of our feelings. He's the source of the joy. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, Paul talks about the Spirit who gives joy. He imparts this positive feeling that'll be in our bodies. That's part of his work. Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit's work in our lives is joy. And in terms of all the negative feeling that we all struggle with because life is so broken, this is very good news. The Holy Spirit's work as comforter, the Holy Spirit's work as joy giver. I'll take that. I need that. It's very good news as we live, try to live in the true life of our feelings.